Testing. Testing. Testing.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your attendance at the meeting today of the Inner West Local Planning Panel on the 23rd of October 2018. At the opening of the meeting, I wish to acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. My name is Kevin Hoffman. I'm the chairman appointed today. I'd like to introduce the panel members also so that you're aware of their background. My own background is as a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales over a period of 14 years. And prior to that, I was a founding director of a private consultancy in architecture and town planning. And prior to that, I was chief town planner of a sub-region of New South Wales. Since my retirement from the court, I've served on several panels similar to this one throughout the Sydney region. I'd like now on my far left, Mary Lynn Taylor, if she could summarise her experience too.
Mary Lynn Taylor, planning lawyer, presently an acting chair of the state planning panel for the Central City, and a member of a number of other local panels, and a former deputy chair of the Heritage Council.
And then John McInerney on my left.
My name is John McInerney. I'm an architect and town planner and formerly a councillor with the City of Sydney.
Thank you. And on my right, Kath Roach.
Good afternoon. Kath Roach from Sync Solutions is my company. Over the years, I've been the Ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years. I've worked with Housing New South Wales for a number of years. In my current position as Managing Director of Sync Solutions, I work across a lot of the local councils in New South Wales. On this particular committee, I'm here as the community representative.
Thank you all. Now, just before we proceed, just a couple of notes about the way we conduct the proceedings. There's an agenda before us, and there's 11 items on that agenda. We'll generally run through them in the order in which they're presented. We have a number of people who are registered to speak this afternoon, and we'll call them up as the items come up. Where you will go to is the chair you can see at the end of the table, where there's a microphone, and you need to press the button on the microphone, and there's a little red light comes on so that the microphone is active, and also make sure you bring it down so it's near your mouth. That way the recording of the proceedings will be accurate, and the proceedings are recorded, I might remind you. Each person who speaks is given 3 minutes. We have read both the council reports and the documents submitted to us. We've been to the sites today, earlier today. Some of you we will have seen on site. I think there's only three items where we didn't inspect. They were mainly tree applications where there were no representations either for or against the applications, and they appeared to be appropriately dealt with by the council officers. We'll come to them in due course. Now, it's important that you remember in speaking that you're responsible for what you say, and that you should respect the views of others in making your presentation. And they will, of course, be expected to respect your views. The panel decisions today may be made as we go through each item, or if the panel needs to discuss it in greater detail, we may choose to adjourn to another room where we can make that decision or discuss it further and come back here and announce the panel's decision. In due course, I think it's in the next couple of days, the decisions will be published on the council's website. Very good. Nothing else, panel? We'll move to the first item.
Declarations of interest.
I beg your pardon?
Declarations of interest.
We have the declaration of pecuniary interests and non-pecuniary interests. Do any of the panel have any declarations to make?
None from me.
No, I do not.
Thank you, Kath. Thank you. None of the panel, including myself, have any pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests to declare at this point. Now, moving to the agenda, the first item is D/2018/356 at 3 Well Street, Balmain, alterations and additions to an existing dwelling. We have here listed a Mark Chambers to speak. Mr. Chambers, are you present? Okay. And we have Emily Knight, architect. Which of you would like to speak first? Okay, if you'd like to move to the chair. Thank you. Now remember, 3 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
As we discussed this morning, we believe that the stormwater condition can be resolved to council's satisfaction through a gravity-fed system, and that plan was provided to Jai via email this morning. Regarding the window, that there was a raised issue of privacy, which we do understand. The intention of that window is to retain an outlook, and should the our preference would be to retain the original window, the window in the original location, rather than to obscure it, to retain that outlook and the district outlook from that location. In the event that that doesn't satisfy council's requirements or yours regarding the privacy, then if the screening could be reduced in height to, say, 1.2, so it was more difficult to look down where the privacy issue is but still retain the outlook directly, you know, the district view, then we would really appreciate your consideration of that.
Any questions of the speaker? No, thank you. I have one. You showed to us today a engineer's hydraulics design to carry the roof water out to Well Street rather than through an easement. That was forwarded to the council officers, but unfortunately there was none present able to give it an instant assessment. The panel is contemplating we might make an alternate stormwater design to Well Street subject of the deferred commencement, so and make it an either the easement or a hydraulic engineer's design to take it to Well Street. Is that acceptable to you?
That would be acceptable.
Okay. Nothing more that you'd need to say? Thank you. Well, you may stand down. Mr. Chambers, do you wish to speak?
No, I think that's fine.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry, our screens all went off there for a moment. I'm just reading. We have considered this matter prior to coming in, and we had contemplated some wording that I just announced. The following. Yes. Yes.
So we're also going to delete condition 5E
yes.
If people were still comfortable with that after what they heard.
Yeah, are you still comfortable with deleting 5E?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. All right, thank you. The panels, as I said, after the inspection and looking at the plans and bearing in mind the officer's report and submissions, have come to a decision, and the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report of the council on the agenda and resolves the application be approved as per the recommendation contained in that report, subject to the following changes. In condition one, we wish to include the following part B to say an amended stormwater design is to be prepared and submitted to the satisfaction of council stormwater engineer conducting the roof stormwater to Wells Street.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, we just have to have the word or after part A, so that should be inserted.
So I beg your pardon. Yes, it should be. Yes, in front of part B there should be the word or. And then further to that, in condition 5, we delete condition 5E. Otherwise, the development is approved in accordance with the conditions in the agenda. Yes, and the decision is unanimous. Thank you. That completes that item. And we move to item number 2, which is D/2018/249, 71 Gipp Street, Birchgrove. Now, Mr. McInerney, I think you are going to deal with that.
Presenters,
yes, we'll call the presenters. We have... for 69 Gipp Street, Birchgrove, Ingrid DeMeyer. Are you here? Would you like to come forward? Thank you.
I'll try and keep it brief. So I just wanted to say we're long-term residents of 20 years. We let the DA of 2010, as you know, lapse due to realising the impact on our own amenity. We are now in a position where our neighbours are impacting on our amenity. We intend to stay long term. We acknowledge there have been some adjustments from the first DA, but we still find the bulk is still massive and the impact significant. We would recommend further amendments on the current DA, and we note in Council's report that we are identified as vulnerable because we are on the south side, and so on that basis what we're seeing is the development focusing on the south side when we are already noted as vulnerable. We do want to support the development next door. We're realistic and understand that work does need to be done, but again we do believe there are other solutions to minimise the impacts that we will have to deal with, and we urge the panel to support further conditions that our architect Tamara Lane can outline in more detail. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I guess just lastly that the impact of bulk can't be underestimated in terms of space, visible impact, skyline and people's mental health. So we really want the heritage of the house, I guess, has been seen as a priority and not the impact on residents. So we do believe there is a solution that will work for both ourselves and our neighbours, respectfully. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you. Now, I have listed next Tamara Lane, who is the architect you referred to. Would you like to come forward?
Yes.
So I am an architect. I live and work in the local area, and I apologise, I couldn't be on site this morning. I had other commitments. Really, we're here today to, I guess, support and understand what the applicant has been through, but acknowledge that as the neighbour on the south side of a smaller block, the impact is real. What we're looking for is to try and find any what might seem like small changes, but the small changes are real changes to my client, and they were represented in the second objection. What I would also add to that is that we are looking at a planning report that actually states that the main issues are bulk and scale, and they were acknowledged very early in the pre-DA meetings, in particular to my neighbour's to my client's property. The current scheme doesn't meet the requirements. It encroaches into the building location zone, and it also has impacts on the winter solstice shadows. The planning report also states that there are design opportunities or options that could be introduced, for example, siding the building closer to the northern boundary or relocating more of the first floor into the rear roof form. So that's stated in the planning report, and we're here to support those options. We outlined some minor changes that I think should be considered by the panel. In addition, it has come to light that there would be an opportunity for the ensuite to be relocated in a similar fashion to the stairwell. Now, that change could be brought about in moving forward with the current scheme and conditioned. I understand it's a late-running change, but the ensuite is an adjunct to the main room that is being proposed on the first floor. It's the closest to our neighbour's property. We do acknowledge that the amended plans did move the first floor off the boundary, although overall the impact is still going to be considerable in terms of shadowing, but also bulk and scale. So what we'd be putting forward to the panel is just to seriously consider the minor changes that were proposed in our objection that could be conditioned, and in a similar nature, the relocation of the ensuite as a service room, which could be located in the same roof link next to the stairwell. That would not impact any further on the heritage. Council have offered the applicant an opportunity to explore moving into that roof form that was previously not available to them. And I think that opportunity hasn't been taken with the full extent of the opportunities that would minimise the bulk and scale to the rear.
Can you just explain what you wanted done with the ensuite again? A little louder, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes. So to try and make that clear, let me just go back to my notes. An analysis of the upper level plan shows that the stairs have been relocated to a link roof form that intersects with the existing rear roof plane. Equally, there is an opportunity for the ensuite to be relocated adjacent to the stairs in a wider linked roof form. This option would shift significantly more bulk away from the southern neighbour. Is that clear? I actually have a little sketch that would show.
Yes, if you have the sketch, would you like to bring it forward? Oh, not. I don't know what she's talking about. Really.
This is
Mike, so that we can
Thank
hear.
You.
Should we show that to the applicant to see if they'd contemplate it?
Yes.
Yes. The panel would like you to show that to the applicant. I'm just thinking that, yes, they're due to speak, but if they haven't seen it, I don't know what they'll be able to say about it. Yes, the panel's feeling is that we'll defer this till later in the agenda. Now, it might be right at the end so that we don't disturb the normal running order, but it'll give you and the applicant time to perhaps look at your proposal and see if they might contemplate it or not.
Proposal could be given to the applicant rather than a discussion.
That's what I'd say it again.
Thank you. We're in agreement. We'll defer consideration till the end of this meeting and give you time to discuss it with the applicant and their architect. Very good. I should ask, is the applicant willing to meet with the objector's architect to discuss it? I see. All right. All right, well, look, we'll go on with the next item while you look at it and then see if you can make a comment after that. Are you happy with that? Can you speak up? You're not speaking into the microphone.
I do acknowledge that the process would not have...
yes, well, look,
However,
the chair can rule
that
we might accept it, but I want to hear from the applicant on it before we make a decision on that.
I understand. So as an architect, it was something that has come to light that I believe could be something that is suitable to both parties. I'd be willing to discuss that with the other party, and I agree with... I can do that now.
All right. As the applicant, are you willing to have a look at it now? Yes, okay. We'll just adjourn this matter till after we've dealt with the next item. Very well. Would you like to leave the chair? Thank you. We'll go on to item 3. And item 3 is D/2018/69. At 393 Darling Street, Balmain. It's alterations and additions to an existing heritage-listed building and associated works, including demolition of rear extensions and detached storerooms, relocated parking and driveway tree removal, landscaping and outdoor play areas, new fencing, signage, site remediation to facilitate the use as an 80-place child care centre. Now we have Jane Dillon, architect, listed to speak. Are you here? All right, what's your name? Okay, would you take the seat, please? Thank you. Just say your name again for the recording.
Pam Meal.
Thank you. If you'd proceed.
Okay. We would like to request that the determination of this application be deferred and that Council resubmit the concurrence application to the Department of Education and review our revised traffic documents submitted. This DA is the relocation of an existing 90-place centre in Balmain that could close due to its lease running out in 2020. It is not a new centre. We have already compromised from 90 children to 80 children, and we note that there was not a single complaint from neighbours and that this proposal was fully supported by the Inner West Children's Services. In relation to the concurrence, in an email to the Department of Education, the project was described as a new centre, not a relocated centre. Council did not send the heritage impact statement nor the heritage garden layout, which would have clearly outlined that there were exceptional circumstances for them to consider. To accommodate the front heritage garden, we lost 90 square metres, which was reconfigured into the veranda for simulated outdoor space, which was also 90 square metres. Otherwise, we did not have enough outdoor space for the 80 children. We need 7 square metres per child for outdoor space. We have submitted further detailed information on the layout of the upper floor showing outdoor equipment and requested that Council resubmit the application to the Department of Education along with heritage information. Council have refused to appeal the application on our behalf with that information. We have submitted revised plans on the 12th of October with a straighter driveway, speed hump, convex mirror, as agreed with the Council's engineer. Our traffic consultants have provided a letter confirming compliance of the parking layout with both DCP requirements and AS 2890.1. As safety is important, an alternative proposal with 5 on-site car spaces and a visitor space on new curbside parking would allow for a fenced pathway and a more driveway space near the entry has also been submitted to Council. The site is centrally located to many bus routes and we anticipate most families would be walking to that centre. There is also 2 loading zone spaces on the other side of the fire station for deliveries. Our heritage research has also indicated that the original access to the rear of the heritage building was on the eastern side of the block where the proposed driveway is being located. The location of the outdoor space was supported by Children's Council's Children's Services, who did not have a problem with the location. The area on the eastern side of the building is smaller and has poor solar access, however, can also be seen by the flats. My existing childcare centre has 8 townhouses overlooking playgrounds as well, so it's not unusual in Balmain. The landscape plans have significant planting in the outdoor play space, which will soften and help screen that area. And if required, the glass top on the acoustic fence could be obscure glass to provide additional screening. We noted there was a number of other concerns which could be DA conditions, such as the stormwater plans and height of playground mounds. We also believe that the verandas proposed are no more imposing than what is already in place. There is a huge amount of foliage on the western side and high fences at the rear of the property. At the rear, there are only 2 properties, and on the other side is the fire station. Again, we had no complaints from neighbours about this proposal. Thank you for your consideration.
We'll see if there's any questions.
Sure.
The eastern side to be better from a play area point of view, was that correct?
No, we believe the western side is better. Where we've actually submitted the DA plans now. We had it originally on the other side, but we couldn't get the parking to work on the western side.
Mr. Chairman, that would seem to me to be a good direction to find a solution to the parking on the western side. As you would be aware, after reading the report from council officers, there's a strong preference to put that parking on the western side.
Yes, we had a couple of DAs, but my architect did write back and outline why there were problems with the parking being on the western side. And from what I understand, it was mostly about the turning bays and making it fit into the overall playground space that's required for the 80 children. We believed it was easier being a straight line access on the eastern side, and we had a better turning circle at the rear of the property. I'm sorry if I can't answer everything because my architect will understand
just,
it better.
It's just odd that we have the opposite. We have come to the opposite conclusion that the difficulty of the car parking and turning manoeuvring on the eastern side is in fact much harder than if it had been on the western side. So we clearly have some fundamental difference of opinion on this, and we in fact agree with the council officer's conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Through you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay? Yep. You said your relocation from a childcare centre that you're concerned about the lease may not get renewed in 2020. What made you decide that's 90 childcare, 90 places, as I understand what you just said, and this one's an 80 places as you're currently proposing. What made you decide on 80?
As a result of the pre-DAs. We originally submitted 90 places, but it wasn't going to work with the conditions that council, as we discussed in pre-DA, so we downsized the size to 80 to meet those requirements.
And I'll just ask the obvious question, why not lower? Why not 50? Why not 60?
Because we have existing families.
I'd like to ask why you think it's relevant that you are relocating as opposed to being a new application.
Part of the reason that the concurrence was refused was they seemed to deem it as a new service as opposed to a relocation of a service, because they actually outlined that there were numerous centres already, so it seemed to indicate that they thought this was a new centre in the refusal from the Department of Education.
You've addressed your concern about the Department of Education, but the council has many reasons for refusing this application,
mm-hmm.
and one of them seems to be the number of children, because mm-hmm. that equates to the amount of space you have to provide.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to us visiting the site that clearly the rear area was a more appropriate area for the child playing area,
mm-hmm.
and that there'd be some overshadowing of the either side of the building. Was there no way you couldn't use the whole of the back area as the child play area?
That was in our original pre-DA, but it was the parking on the western side that caused us problems.
Yes.
Unfortunately, my architect would have been able to explain this better, and I can't give you all the reasons, I'm sorry.
It's unfortunate because today's the day we make the decision.
I know.
Thank you.
I do have the report with me as well.
Yes.
Mary Lynn is taking the running on this application. Mary Lynn?
Yes, in this matter we have visited the site and understood the concerns expressed by the council, and note their suggestion that this must be refused because of the lack of concurrence from the Department of Education. Whether or not that is the legal situation, this panel finds that the other reason that might be something that might be sorted out.
Yes, well, we'll
if time were given to you, but that the other reasons for refusal are paramount in the appearance of, in the opinion of this panel. For example, we think that many of your problems come from the fact that there are just too many children.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that you've chosen a site that has heritage constraints
mm-hmm.
and difficult parking arrangements on either side, but the panel is of the view that the council is correct and that the better side for the parking and traffic is the western side, that better use could be made of the rear yard for landscaped area, and that the present parking and entrance and egress arrangements are totally unsatisfactory. And the panel will unanimously agree with the council's reasons for refusal, as stated in the report.
Aye. Thank you. That vote is unanimous. I'm sorry to advise you that it's been refused. Very good. We'll proceed to item number...
The other people are back.
You're back, are you? Okay. Would you like to approach and give you a position now? We'll go back to... Yes. We'll go back to item two.
Mr. Chair, I'll just check and see if the objectors are outside, because they may wish to listen to this.
Just wait until we see if the objectors are there. Very good. Proceed. Thank you. You better say your name, please.
So my name's Sisnato Banerjee. I'm one of the owners at 71 Gipp Street.
Very good. Thank you. You need to repeat it, I think. Ms. Taylor couldn't get that.
It's a bit loud.
No problem. So I'm Sisnato Banerjee. I'm one of the owners at 71 Gipp Street.
Right.
And first of all, thank you for your time and consideration of the application. I think this has been a bit of a process. I'm sure you've got most of the documents. So I'll just share, I guess, from our perspective of what we're trying to achieve here. So we've been in Birchgrove for about a little while now, over 7 years. And, you know, we have two small boys who we would love to grow up, you know, in the area. So we're looking for a space that's suitable for them. And we're conscious that any renovations you do in the peninsula are, you know, will inevitably have some sort of impact on our neighbours. We have been on the receiving, like, we have been in our previous place. Our neighbours, you know, did a year's renovation. So we do have that experience. So what we have tried to do from the beginning here is try and be conscious of the impact, working within the constraints both of the site as well as the heritage constraints, of finding a solution that is has as minimal an impact as possible, even when that meant there was some cost to us, whether that be in terms of loss of amenity or a financial cost. And you see the DA, the application has evolved over time, and that's even before we started, which was what we wanted to do was quite different. We do really love the cottage and the potential that it offers for a family of four, especially once we just make it a little bit more livable, whether that be in terms of improving the light that we get at the moment, the ability to use the indoor-outdoor space, and the thermal comfort, which doesn't really exist at the moment. I think finally we do feel that the changes we've proposed, given that we've been working with these constraints, are relatively modest given the character of the street, and we do hope you take that into consideration when you consider our application.
So as to the amendment that the objectors offered, are you prepared to consider that or not?
So I'll, to Lindenboer, I will provide, my architect will provide the details more, but this was
okay.
But this was something we had considered through through our progression with the council, and it turned out to be not feasible from a number of reasons, which he can go through now.
It's
not new, basically.
Anything more?
No.
Well, thank you. Your architect's going to speak now, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Banerjee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. McInerney is going to take the lead on this matter. Thank you. Mr. Thorley.
Yeah. Lyndon Thorley. So this is a very, very constrained site. Once we take into account the footprint of the existing building, which is protected under the heritage controls, we consider private open space, the minimum area to be provided, the rear building setback line and the implications of the sewer line that runs down the northern side of the property, we are left with approximately 38 square metres of site that we can build on. And that is where the building is proposed. And we have been very conscious of that right from the very beginning. We took ourselves to the pre-DA process because we could see that as an issue and saw that balancing the interests of all of the neighbours was very difficult in this context due to orientation and heritage reasons, and worked very closely with council. We've prepared up to a total of 10 submissions to council over the course of this DA, testing various options, roof forms, whether we could squeeze a little bit less area in somewhere, or whether we could lower a gutter or change the roof form to have a minimum impact. We have increased the side setback to the south of the first floor from about 40 centimetres up to 1.6. We have reduced our gutter height on the boundary on the first floor so that it's less than a 2.1 metre wall height. We've adjusted pitches of roofs not only to echo the original cottage and have a good heritage response, but also to minimise our impact and overshadowing so that we would minimise the impact as much as possible. And what you're seeing is the leanest possible solution that we could put forward that our client was happy with. And we would really appreciate the support of the panel to let it proceed. With respect to the late submission, it is an option that was thoroughly worked through with council and tested, and it was rejected on the grounds that it really compromises the heritage aspects of things and sets a precedent for a wider linking roof than they're happy to accept. And it also, at the moment, because of the way we've pushed things, the windows on the side of our staircase are very important to getting some sunlight down into the middle of the space. So we're not happy to accept that option.
Thank you, Mr. Thorley. I appreciate, and I had my own, as an architect, I had my own, let me say, misgivings looking at that location, because that internal staircase, as it were, needs as much light as it can get. I appreciate that. And thank you again on behalf of the panel for looking at it again, but I can understand the conclusion you came to. Just want to say that the panel had a real opportunity to see the difficulties of these, of both sites actually, and I think we were fully aware of the impact on sunlight, and the diagrams that you've provided have given us a really good indication and a clear explanation of what's happened here. May I also comment that I think the officer's report is quite fair too, that it gives in some ways almost a little history of the negotiations that went on, and the conclusion which the panel, I believe, will unanimously agree to is on page 77, and I propose, Mr. Chairman, to move that recommendation on page 77.
And the vote. Ms. Taylor?
I agree.
Very good. Therefore, I'll leave it to you, Mr. McInerney, to announce the unanimous decision of the panel.
The unanimous decision is, in fact, that the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for the approval contained in the report. The decision of the panel was unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to item four. And item four is D/2018/413, 60 Ryan Street, Lilyfield. And it's the removal of a Ficus benjamina, a weeping fig tree located at the rear of the site. The council's report on this matter is quite comprehensive, complete with photographs showing the damage the existing tree is doing to the property and to the gas meter and main services, also to the roof of the building. The officer's report recommends approval of the removal of the tree, and the I believe the panel is unanimous.
That's correct.
Yep. Thank you. The recommendation is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to the development application D/2018/413 for the removal of a Ficus benjamina weeping fig tree located at the rear of the heritage listed site at 60 Ryan Street, Lilyfield, New South Wales 2040, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below. Thank you. That concludes that matter. And we progress to item five. Item five is application D/2018/98. Yes, I think so.
Yep.
Yes. And it's the Aldersgate Nursing Home at 16 Fredbert Street, Lilyfield. Alterations and additions to an existing aged care building and associated works, including car parking changes, new decks, landscaping, and tree removal. Now, we have listed for this matter a number of people to speak, the first of whom is Louise Apple. Are you present, Louise? Thank you. If you'd come to the chair, please. Thank you. When you're ready to start.
Good afternoon. My name is Rosie Cubb. I live in 10 Fredbert Street for 20 years. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for introducing yourself and your panel. And that's why I want to also tell you my background. I'm neither a lawyer nor an architect, but I am a retired medical practitioner. And one of the things in our discourse with the public, our patients, is one thing we always, it is in our ethics to make ourselves understandable. Now today, it was regrettable that the process from the council with regards to the DA with the latest version, the Plan D, was not chaired somehow on the for us to be intelligible. So one of the things I would like to say is my intention here, and this is of all the residents of Fredbert Street, is to share our precious space that is actually very small. A number of presentations here have shown how small this space is. And at this stage, I also would like to acknowledge the original owners of this precious land we're standing on, sitting on. And I'd also would like to say that my intent is for all of us to live together peaceably. That means the residents of Fredbert Street, which also includes the residents of the Aldersgate nursing home. Because one of the things that is pretty clear is we are here only for a very short time in life. And all of us have had family in nursing home whom we visited. And for most of us, it's not so long that we may need to be a resident in a nursing home. So hence, I would have appreciated if the gentleman behind you in the beard would have shared his Plan D earlier with us. That would have been wonderful. So yeah, I don't want to let's live together, and I don't want to be going on like a silly old woman who talks too much and hasn't got the exact brief. But let's work together in this, in the spirit of how land should be shared, which is how the people who had this land before us did. Is that my time?
Yes, it is your time. You've set a very good format for understanding, which I hope the panel might well be able to fulfil. I originally called Louise Apple.
Yes.
And she didn't stand up. You came to the microphone. So we now know that you are Rosie Cubb.
Yes.
Now,
I presented myself, though. Sorry.
You did.
Mr. Chair.
Now, I'm just wondering, we've got Louise Apple, Cathy Smith and Dan Brindle to speak.
No.
Are they going to cover the technical concerns of the residents of the street?
Yes, they definitely will, yes.
Okay.
Is
it okay, then, if I call them now? Because you've set a nice sense of of cooperation, I think, and sympathy. Very good. Okay. If you're happy for them to now go on with the more technical details.
Yes.
Happy to do that.
If that's okay, because parking and peaceful living together is actually the core issue of what we are here about.
Good. We gathered that from our site visit, and we have certain things in mind, but we'd like to hear from the others.
Lovely.
Persons. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I call Louise Upple now? Or would you have a different order? Okay. So you're Kathy Smith, are you? All right, thank you. We've got the right person this time.
Yeah. We were trying not to be repetitive in our submissions to the council.
So. It's going well.
So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today. And as you witnessed this morning on your site visit to our street, that parking-related issues continue to be a very great point of contention, I guess, between the residents of the rest of Frederick Street and the residents of Aldersgate Nursing Home. So while the current version of the DA may meet council requirements for the provision of off-street parking, we do not believe that the staff and visitor parking provided will relieve or change the situation that we are confronted with on a daily basis. It's really the usability of the car spaces for both staff and visitors, as well as the need for a change of culture with respect to parking that we have not seen addressed in the current version of the DA. This morning, we understand there are about 25 staff on site, and there were 6 cars in the undercover staff car parking area. As we understand that, there is a limit to the number of staff who can currently park there due to a limited number of access by swipe card. So therefore, the staff do not have reliable, meaningful access to the undercover staff parking area as it stands. And we wonder how this will be addressed in the proposed changes. This morning, during your site visit, one of the staff parked in our street was one of the most senior staff on site for the day. If the senior staff are not prepared to set an example of where to park for other staff, how can there be any confidence the culture of staff parking in our street following this development will change? Currently, visitors are accessing the nursing home from Frederick Street. Under the new proposal, most of the off-site parking for visitors will be on Wharf Road. How does the nursing home plan to change the pattern, the culture of visitor parking away from Frederick Street to Wharf Road? I have a great deal of empathy for the elderly visitors to the nursing home, and I completely understand why they choose to park off-site on the road in Frederick Street. The spaces allocated for visitors are not easy to negotiate, especially for those visitors that are more frail and elderly. So we wonder how the council will ensure that the nursing home reviews or enforces the changes that will be required to the pattern of behaviour of both staff and visitors to ensure that the new configuration of parking is utilised as proposed. And so when I look at the plans, the fundamental plans, the plans as they are today, the fundamental problem remains for us as residents, that it is simply now, and it will be under the new DA, easier for most visitors and staff to park on Frederick Street. And I don't believe that the current DA addresses how change will be made that will impact on the parking in our street.
Thank you. Any questions?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Now, do we yet hear from Louise Upple? Oh, we do now.
The real Louise Upple.
Thank you. Ms. Upple.
So, good afternoon. I am Louise Upple, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to the panel this afternoon. We want to begin by the opening paragraph in the A4 submission that I sent, because essentially summarising Frederick Street in its context from the front of what is currently the front of Aldersgate House is important. Frederick Street has a very unique layout. It's a very short cul-de-sac, and there is absolutely no turning circle terminus. the places for manoeuvring of traffic and pedestrians all happen in exactly the same place. It is sometimes quite dangerous. There are a lot of people and a lot of children and a lot of cars in our street, and it has always been classified as a low traffic zone. One of the things that we would like to see going forward before this DA process concludes is to have traffic monitored in our street so that we can actually have some determination made that reflects what is actually happening. And we believe that the council has the ability to do that. And then going forward, I'd like to also comment further on the staff car parking issues that Cathy has raised, which relate to the visitors' car parking issues. In the new DA floor plan design, the layout that we first saw a few hours ago this morning, there are six parking spaces that have been allocated that are accessed directly off Wharf Road. There are 16 parking spaces in that diagram that are accessed off the basement via the University of Tasmania driveway, which is not on the land owned by Aldersgate House. Now, if you ignore the two hidden public parking spaces that are accessed from Fredbert Street, and they are very well hidden, that gives us 22 parking spaces that are all accessible from Wharf Road. So going into the future, one of the things that we would like to look at is the proposal that all staff and visitor parking, and that includes service vehicles, be directed towards Wharf Road, not Fredbert Street at all. And that would create an opportunity for a lot of the problems to go away. Both of those areas can be accessed from Wharf Road. It actually makes Fredbert Street a much safer place, and it, in the future, it might make it a more useful place if there are redesigns on the building itself. Now, we have a letter that was dated the 24th of September from Eric Wong of the Inner West Council that stated that the engineers had concluded that the number of parking places that were provided was satisfactory, and the conditions would be recommended that those parking places for staff in the basement be allocated to staff and that be enforced. Now, all of these come across as recommendations, and unfortunately in 26 years we have learnt that recommendations under a DA are recommendations only. Nobody sees any way forward in terms of adhering to those.
Yeah. Ms Apple, can I just put a couple of ideas to you?
Yes.
The panel was aware of the situation because Fredbert Street was entirely parked out, and including with ambulances and patient transfer vehicles and private cars.
That was
cars.
Very timely, I thought.
And our bus had to move to let an ambulance in as well. We were conscious of the congestion problem.
Mm.
And we did visit the basement and saw I think I only counted four cars in there.
Yeah, there were four.
Plus a car space that had been boarded up to provide a storeroom, plus allocation of space for several buses to be parked there. So we had a discussion with the representative of Aldersgate, and we have in mind proposing conditions that are specifically addressing the sort of things you're talking about. We'd like to hear from the Aldersgate representative to hear if he's prepared to consider the additional conditions the panel is considering. So I think we've got the gist of what the is, of course, an amenity problem in the street. We have a Dan Brindle also listed to speak. Is he for you or is he for the applicant? You're for the applicant, are you? Well, maybe we're hearing from you instead of the representative we met on site today. But, okay. Who's?
Louise.
All right.
Thank you, Louise.
Okay. Thank you.
The final words, we need to go forward.
Your microphone's not on.
It's
It's turned itself off. We want to go forward with more than just recommendations. We want these to be things that are written about and we get copies of it in future.
Right. Well, you'll hear more in a little while.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now I've got Mr. Dan Brindle next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Brindle is my name. I'm a town planner for the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we support the recommendation for approval of the development application. I'd just like to talk to you about the deferred commencement condition. The deferred commencement